Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm going to read from a few different places tonight. You don't have to follow all of it with me. I'm going to start with just a text, but I hope our spirits are teachable tonight. I want to read from, first off, the book of 1 John. 1 John, I'll begin at verse number 5 for context, but just read through verse number 10. And pray that we all get some country preaching, as Victor said. So let's obey God. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I'm going to read just two more verses. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would fill us with this word tonight. Teach our spirits, we pray, as a people, to recognize the importance of this truth. May the gravity and the weight of sin bear upon us. May we recognize the offense that it is against you, and Lord, how awful it is in your eyes. Forgive us where we failed. We truly ask this, praying, God, for your forgiveness each and every moment. Thank you for what you're going to do. As we pray the unction of the Spirit, allow it, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told this times before, but I'm going to say it again, because it seems to me that it's ever more important. When we had gone to Jeff and Brenda's one Sunday afternoon to have lunch, and Buford Albright was there, and when we had finished, he and I had gone out on the front porch, and we were sitting there, and I took the opportunity to ask him some questions. And one of them was, as I said, Buford, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do? Or what would you do different? And he didn't answer me at first. He just was real quiet. And directly he looked at me and he said, I'd preach harder on sin. And I've never forgot that, though I've not always felt it as strongly as he did at the time. And yet today, really this week, I have felt just a burning in me to preach about sin.
Come on. Amen.
What a dangerous place we live in, and it's probably the safest in the world. And yet sin is rampant everywhere. And what's dangerous about the sin today is that they call it good. It used to be, it was known as sin, even if you went along with it. You recognized it as being either morally or socially unacceptable or wrong. And yet today, it's simply good, right? The worse it is, it seems the easier people can go along with it. But I'd like for us tonight to at least understand or try to understand how awful that sin truly is. Now, I don't know that I can really get it out, but it's in my heart tonight to try. There's a lot that I need to repent for. And I'm afraid that a lot of folks fail to repent because they don't see the gravity of sin. They don't recognize how awful it is and what an offense it is unto God. They don't recognize how dangerous it is to let it go undone in their lives and what a cost it has to all of us. The Apostle John, as he wrote these words to them, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins. But oh, how we take that for granted. Now, the only way that Jesus or that God can forgive us of sin is that he had to cause his only son to die. Now, we allow these things to come in our mind, and I'm going to say this. It may not be true about you, but I fear it is many that we've become desensitized to the gospel. We've become hardened. We've heard about sin so much, and we've heard about the propitiation for our sins that we've let both of them lose their weight and the gravity and the importance of them. Yet what he said is if we would confess them. Oh, how simple that seems to be, and yet what I believe is taking place is that people don't think they're in sin. They don't believe they're living in sin. They don't recognize sin. They say, well, it doesn't convict me. It's because you ain't read the word. If you'd open up the Bible, it'd convict you. Amen. If you'd listen to the preaching, it would convict you.
Amen.
Because there are many things in it I find that I'm in sin. And I want to try to share those before I end tonight. We want to finish there. But to begin tonight, I want to try my best to help us recognize how awful sin is. From the very beginning, God made it clear the price for sin. Come on. Now, just because you didn't see a lamb's throat cut tonight does not change the fact that sin is still expensive. That it costs every time that we sin.
Amen.
The truth is we've heard it so much. And every Sunday we hear it again. And we get numb to the fact that sin is desperately wicked in the eyes of God. And the only way for us truly to understand it is if we can get a glimpse into the holiness of God and recognize how extremely holy and righteous he is, and then compare it with the base and the lustful wicked needs of men, and to see the vast and stark difference, then we might understand even briefly how heinous sin is unto God. From the very beginning, death followed sin. It has not changed.
Amen.
We live in a day of grace, and thanks be unto God, hallelujah, that Jesus made a way that sin could be paid for. Thanks be unto God, he has become the propitiation for our sins. But it has not changed the fact that sin is still awful. It is wicked and it is expensive. Just because we have the free gift of God through the shed blood of his son, we have allowed sin to become something that it has never been. We've allowed it to become something that is tolerable or allowable or something that is compromised in our life. Friend, sin is still awful. And the world can't see this. It's only the children of God that can see it. And yet I fear that the church is numb to the awfulness of sin. I don't know if Adam and Eve were present, but I can tell you the only thing that could cover their nakedness was God having to kill something. Now, that wasn't the animal's fault, it was theirs.
But something had to die.
Right.
Now, there ain't many of us tonight could go day after day with a knife in our hand, slitting the throat of an innocent animal and watching its blood spray out everywhere. But that's how awful sin is.
Right.
Is that it requires something die. It'd run every one of you out of here if I brought a lamb in and cut its throat right in front of you. That's the truth. We don't want to see some poor innocent animal lose its life. And yet we look at sin as if, oh, well, take it or leave it. If it's all right for you, I reckon that's okay. I want you to know if it violates the word of a holy God, it requires something is going to die. That's how bad. And I ain't talking about the sins that the world might act or say, yeah, that's awful. I'm talking about telling a lie.
That's right.
Not doing what he said to do is sin. And for sin, something has to die. That's how awful sin is.
That's right. God help.
Where we get to the place that we'll let something slide or let something go or let something be undone or unrepented for in our lives, I don't know. But I can tell you the price tag for sin has not changed.
Amen.
According to the word of God, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And just because Jesus Christ died for me does not remove the penalty of sin.
Right.
It just placed it on him.
Amen.
And because I'm the recipient of grace, I sit back undeterred by this world. And I sit back in a way that allows and compromises with sin. It's not to be. God help us. To allow the sinfulness of this world to numb us or desensitize us to its awfulness. We let stuff go. We let thoughts in our minds run rampant. And them based from the wicked and base lust of the flesh. We allow things that are said in an offensive way or a harsh way, we let them go undone. Instead of making it right with a brother or a sister immediately when an offense has come, we let it go on as if it don't matter. We'll tell a lie or we'll tell a story and we'll claim it's just a fib or we didn't really mean it or it was for their own good. Regardless of how you want to paint the picture, something had to die for that sin.
That's right.
Just because it's you or it's me, it doesn't change how awful that it is. I can't imagine it. Now, honestly, I don't want to ever know what it's like for a culture that still believes in a ritual sacrifice to atone for sin. But I'll have you know it was God's plan. Sacrificial atonement has been God's plan since the very beginning.
That's right.
And it's you and me that haven't been exposed to the awfulness of it. The sickening part that sin has caused. We might act better if we could, were exposed to how awful it was. When every day somebody was bringing a turtle dove, or a pigeon, or a goat, or a heifer, or a lamb, and every day they'd sacrifice. I'm talking about rivers of blood.
That's right.
Some of you can't bleed without passing out. I don't know what you'd do if you had to see something die because you are a sinner.
That's right.
Let me tell you how bad sin is. It separated mankind from God when the first one happened.
That's right.
Separated. That's how bad sin. sin. One. How many do we commit each day? And yet one separated mankind from the presence of holy God. And only through the most expensive sacrifice, the most priceless sacrifice, the most precious sacrifice. And yes, he was sacrificed. Yes, the blood was drained from his precious body. Only by that have we been reconciled unto God, and yet we come into the house of God indifferent to worship. That's wicked. It's ungodly. That the story of Jesus does not move me. That's wicked. Sin equals death. Just because for the sins of my life, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for all of those sins. You see, you can't kill enough animals to clean it.
That's right.
All of the sacrificial atonements that were made up to Christ were simply shadows. They never, not one, remitted of sin completely. We get it. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit will just marinate that into your spirit. That every sin you commit ought to require a lamb put in your hand and a knife as well. And you to execute that thing in your presence and let the blood flow out. You'd change your tune about some things if you had to kill something every time. You'd be a little more careful about what you said, about what you did, about what you didn't do. You'd be awful careful if you knew one mess up and I've got to kill something again. Just because Christ paid the sin debt does not remove its awfulness. Amen. Just because we have the freeness of the gift presented unto us does not make it cheap. Yeah. Now, Romans chapter number 2, let me read this verse and then I'm going to finish in 1 Thessalonians. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. I'm just going to read the last part of it. It said, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I'm going to tell you, for Christian people, we oughtn't to have to think about how awful sin is. What we ought to be able to do is to recognize the cost of the gift that was given in order to pay for it. That alone ought to show us clearly how important that it is to repent of sin.
Amen.
Sin must be dealt with. I can assure you in heaven there are no sinners.
Right. Amen.
There is no sin. There is nothing but holy, perfect righteousness in heaven. You say, how in the world then can we go? Only through, right? The propitiation, only through, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse a person of sin. Only the Spirit of God can then seal them until the day of redemption and present them unto God a holy sacrifice that is without spot and without blemish. It is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The goodness of God ought to lead us to repent. What a shameful thought that we have to beg Christian people to repent of sin. It ought to be the goodness of the cross that we recognize the price that he paid for us and offers to us freely if we just believe. It ought to lead us to repentance. That our very hearts long to be free of sin and repent of it. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. You say, preacher, I don't have anything to repent of. Yeah, we read that, right?
Yeah.
Here's a problem. We don't read the Word of God enough to be challenged by things that are sinful. We want to boil it down to what Jesus never intended for man to simply take the two commandments that he gave and cast the rest away. That wasn't the point. What Jesus was telling, what they kept doing was adding another law. And adding another law, and adding another law. And just to try to make themselves more righteous, they'd add one that only they were doing. What Jesus said is all the laws of the prophets hang on these two. Love your God and love your neighbor. Now challenge, everything hangs on that. There's no question about it. But I'd suggest to you that one of us done both of them all day long. Ain't one of us ain't guilty of both of those commands. And yet what we find in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5, verse number 12. I'm going to read to you verse number 12 through verse number 22. And I want you to count them up because I have several times. And I'm just going to give you the number. There are 16 commands in these 10 verses. 16. Now, hear me. Right? Because the danger is good Christian people start just turning it down now. Because we think we're good. Final instructions of the apostle in the letter to the Thessalonians, and he says, and we beseech you, brethren, number one, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, I believe 13 is tied to it, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Anybody guilty yet? And be at peace among yourselves. Number two. Number three. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. How many of us skirt that one? Right? How many times do we see the actions of someone that knows better? And we don't step into their lives and in love saying to them, you're going the wrong way. You're going down a path that's going to cost you. That is sinful. How many times do we warn the unruly? Mark it now. This is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's what the apostle is giving the church to do. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. There was two of them right there. Rejoice evermore. How many of us can say, boy, I've been rejoicing in the Lord today. And yet he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you, or of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Number next, quench not the spirit. Despise not the preaching. despise not prophesying. 21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, just in those verses, there were 16 direct admonitions from the apostle to the church. Anybody feel liberty just to excuse yourself from any of them? I'm afraid, you see, that we get so bombarded with the wondrous news of His grace that we suddenly truly do think it was free. But is it not the most expensive thing we've ever had in our lives? The blood of Christ offered because of my sinful condition, wicked ways. I don't know how to preach it other than to say that sin is awful. And if you don't see it that way, then you have allowed that whatever, you've allowed something to desensitize you to the cost of the cross. The very thing that it took to save you and I was heaven's best. You couldn't do it. I couldn't. Literally, millions. I know we can't fathom that number in our mind, but millions of animals up to Christ were slaughtered. Solomon himself offered 100-something thousand sheep when he dedicated the temple. Can you imagine the blood? A river. And you say, why? Because God is holy. And sin is awful. Only to get to the place where God would make a search in heaven and earth and under the earth and found none worthy to die. Nobody could pay the price for sin. How many sins, Alfred? One. We don't get it, do we? We nod our head like we don't get it. I'm telling you, we don't get it. You say, what? Jesus would have had to die. That's how bad sin is. One person, one sin. If that's had all there had ever been, Jesus Christ would have had to die. Yeah. And you're messing around with sin. You've got people living in sin. And we don't warn them. We don't pray for them. We don't beseech them in every way that we can. We don't tell them of the awful price. If it had been one man and only one single sin, the only way he could have ever been reconciled truly unto God, Jesus would have had to die for one. Why? Because God is holy. If one sin could separate man from God, I assure you, it takes Christ to deal with even that one. Oh, that we get this. Sin is horrible, awful, wicked. And I just read 10 verses. There's a book. A whole book. That tells me what to do, what not to do. How to live. John was careful enough through the Holy Spirit to write in chapter number 2. He said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not.
Don't sin. Don't sin, not even one. Don't allow sin in your life, not even one. And oh, to God, that when we do have a sin in our life, that it hurts us. Yeah. Right? That it rips in our heart. That we allow the Holy Spirit and the conviction that it should bring to us. We allow that to work, and we know instantly when we sin, because it is a violation against the Word of God and the will of God, Christ in us, that one sin in our life would so drive us instantly to our knees, weeping and ask God to forgive us of sin. If we're not careful, we half-heartedly lay our head on a pillow and say, Lord, if I messed up today, would you forgive me? And about the time we get four out, we fall asleep. You think that's dealing with sin? Is that properly identifying the wickedness in our lives? It sounds more to me like that we're acquiescing to the culture we live in by allowing things that God can't tolerate. The only reason, friend, that we breathe is because Christ died. Otherwise, we're dead. And we are forever alienated from God. I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to get it out. But sin is terrible. We need ever allow it to go on in our lives. What a shameful thing. But it took every drop of blood from Christ to pay the debt of a wretch. And for me to hesitate a second is unacceptable. Little children, I write these things unto you so that you will not sin. But if you do, thanks be unto a merciful God that there is an advocate for you. Judgment doesn't fall swiftly and permanently to you who have believed in Christ, because there is an advocate. You say, well, my sin just didn't matter at that point, because no, Christ suffered for every sin we've committed. Every sin. Oh, to God that sin would make us sick as it does God. That the sight of it, the sound of it, would cause in our heart an irrepressible desire to weep and cry out unto God in thanksgiving for His Son. His Son. Come and get a song. But you get it, right? God help us to get it. I'm going to try one more way. And I'll just leave it with you, Alfred. And I hope your little brain just wrestles it all night long. Put a price on Christ. What was it worth? That the Lamb of God Himself, Creator of the world, He that spoke in light. Give me a price. Billions, trillions. Multiply it times a trillion more. Have we got close? and you'll sin over a dollar. We don't get it. There ain't enough gold in this world to ever be worth the blood of the Lamb. And for me to go 1 second of a day without repenting of sin? No. I can't believe He lets us live. I'm just honest. You best be grateful He's merciful. You better be thanking God He is slow to anger. Because I got a good mind that every one of us would have done been put down. Sin is awful. I know that because of what it took to clean it. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Every day, God, forgive me. Help me to get right with the book. And if I ain't rejoicing evermore, all you say, preacher, that you can't do that, right? That's what people believe, right? They read it and they say, oh, it's in jest, right? Generally speaking. Then you right now, he wasn't writing generally speaking. He said, now therefore, brethren, I beseech you. 16 things he laid on them. Before he said bye. You know why? Because sin is awful. Does it bother you when you see it on TV? It does me. It makes me sick. It bothers me. And the world's saying it's all right. It's okay. That's not sin. I want you to know that Jesus died for that wretched thinking. He died for that ridiculous thinking. And He loves them too. Right? Because that's who we were. Thank God for that. He loves them too. Sin is expensive. It is awful. And I pray that we get that. The power with God comes in holiness. Right? That ain't just a saying. Right? I remember them old time preachers, they used to remind me of that. Said when your church gets right, that's when it gets powerful. We might need to get right. We might need to examine some areas of our life that we've just kind of slid and hid. We're just letting it ride. We may need to pick out some private time and just get serious with God and say, why don't you just open this up and show me? Where am I missing it? I don't know about you, but 1 Thessalonians 5 took the hide off of me. I didn't get through 16 of them before I was weeping and praying. Why? Because I was guilty. Well, go ahead and sing. You need the Lord. Thank God He's merciful. If you'll confess your sin, He said He's faithful and just to forgive you. He will. And He can. Stand as we sing.